Hey folks, this is John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. Traffic is bad in Washington, D.C., so that means each week I have about 11 to 15 minutes, depending on how bad the traffic is, to talk shop and just sort of talk about some ideas and things that make sense in the world of teaching and instructional coaching and education. And the beauty part about all this stuff is that whether you teach littles or middles, high school, all the way up to adult learners, we're not actually teaching content, we're teaching kids. And so figuring out what makes people learn and what makes humans work is really helpful because these ideas can work across all content, all grade levels. And today, we're talking about most dangerous phrase in education. We'll get to that in a second. Before we do, if you like what you're hearing, feel free to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcasting app, or maybe leave us a nice rating there on iTunes. It helps other people find it. I appreciate it. And these are designed to be like the start of a conversation, certainly not the end of it. So if you like what you're hearing, feel free to shoot me a line on Twitter. I'm at MeehanEDU on Twitter. That's Meehan like my last name, and EDU like teaching. I like teaching, and I like talking about teaching, so let's talk. The goal is not to be very pie in the sky and like theoretical with this, but actionable things you can put in place in your classroom today, and that each week we'll take something that's like bite-sized, and you could talk about how you're using it, or you're changing it, or improving it in your classroom, because steel sharpens steel, and we get stronger together. If you like what you're hearing, too, I have a website. It's adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline. I'm fired up to teach, and I think that enthusiasm is infectious. And if you like that stuff, I have a book. It's called Adrenaline Rush. It's all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms, which is cool because all those things are crazy, but they're a lot of fun, and they're a different way to look at how we learn and how we kind of explore and how we just make adventures and how we make mistakes and how we, you know, get better together. So that's what's on tap in the background. But today I want to talk about the most dangerous phrase in all of education. I have some leading contenders, by the way, and I've heard this one thrown around in a bunch of education circles and in PD. And because I'm a dork and I hang out on Twitter in teacher circles, I tend to hear the same, you know, memes and the same teacher stories a lot. But talking about the most dangerous phrase in education, I think my number one runner-up to that one, by the way, I feel like Family Feud, like on the board, we should kind of count them down. I think number one runner-up for me, it's a close second, is that phrase, well, in the real world. Oh, how I do not like that phrase, for so many reasons. You know, our students are coming to us with their fears, their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations, their anxieties, their insecurities, their depression, their fear of missing out, their sense of self, their figuring out their you know, just who they are as young men and women, or any other variation of just how life can throw you curveballs, right? Whether they're dealing with loss or separation, anxiety, dealing with gender issues or sexuality. Like, there's a million things that a kid could come into the classroom with. And you say, well, in the real world, you're going to need blah, 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 blah. It's like, for our kids, their real world exists long before they walk into our classroom. And the second we're like, well, in the real world, you need to know blah, 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 blah about the Great Gatsby. Dude, you and I have read totally different books. If you're listening to this podcast, first of all, thank you. Maybe you and I have not read the same books. I like to think I'm a functional adult and I read different books than you. And I think that's okay. If you get 5 or 10 of the people you respect the most in the world together and you put them in a room, I would be surprised if they all read the same 10 books. And that's okay. Because in the real world, there's a lot of different ways to come into your own and to learn who you are and do how you are. And likewise, when you hear these podcasts, whether I got this information by reading books or listening to books on tape or listening to blogs or Twitter chats, in the end, I think the world, and it comes out of George Koros' book, The Innovator's Mindset. Here I am name dropping, so you think I read books. He says, you know, the world doesn't care what you know or how you learn what you know. It wants to see what you can do with it. And that is a real world issue that we lose sight of in the school. Well, everyone has to take notes because in the real world, you need to take notes. When's the last time your boss came on to your, you know, case and said, knock, 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 I need to see your notes, and they have to be exactly in this format? More and more, we're moving away from that idea of everyone has to submit their lesson plans to a central database, and then we have to turn in lesson plans in the same form and fashion, because in the real world, that's how we figure out that your content is aligned to standards and it's being implemented with integrity across all of the teachers at the same grade level. Like, you want to see how I teach? Come into my classroom. You want to see that students are engaged? Feel free to watch my Twitter account. You want to see the type of work that my kids are up to? rather than me spelling out the type of assessment and the learning goals, why don't you take a look at some of the work that my kids are doing and the metacognition that they do in the reflection pieces, because that to me is very real world, just as much as any fake assignment that I could give in the classroom. But that's our number one runner-up. The number one most dangerous phrase in education, so say the edubloggers and so say all the folks who give these presentations. I like this as a point of contention. I think it's funny because professional development is a market that's always designed to be ever improving, right? It's a constantly moving the goalposts because that's the job. So of course they're going to never be satisfied with the status quo. But so say the thinking heads that the most dangerous phrase in all of education, or the most dangerous phrase in the world, is, well, that's just the way it's done around here, or, well, we've always done it that way, or that's just the way we do it. You probably heard a variation of that, maybe in your own school. Why is System X done this way? Well, that's just the way it was done around here, and that's how it's done, buddy boy. If you ever watched West Side Story, which is my all-time favorite musical, the Jets and the Sharks are longtime rivals, and the Jets are from the United States, and the Sharks are also from the United States, but they're from Puerto Rico, so they're labeled as if they're foreigners. And when they come to the U.S. in New York, they find themselves culturally outsiders to the world of the white Americans. And it's funny because they're also Americans, but they're finding themselves like at odds when they're doing things like meeting before the rumble to discuss the terms of the rumble. They're supposed to shake hands or have a meal with, or like, you know, have a soda with. And at one point in the story, one of the characters in the Sharks gets really upset about this. He's like, I don't want to shake hands. Why am I shaking your hands? And the leader of the Jets gang says, well, that's just how it's done, buddy boy. And Bernardo, who's the leader of the Sharks, says, look, I'm not like you. I don't drink with people I hate. I don't shake hands with people I hate. I don't spend time with people I hate. And it's not done for the sake of ceremony. It's just, I just don't do that. That's not my people. And that phrase, well, it's always done this way, is pithy and ironic and really sad and scary too, because, spoiler, by the end of the first act, both Riff and Bernardo will die. Because that's the way it's done, buddy boy, right? You think about things like systems that have existed generationally over time because, well, that's just how it's done. And over time, we're like, maybe they don't need to be done that way. Things like bullying or, you know, hazing. Nobody in like an academic space today would stand up and say, but hazing is good for you. You know, it teaches you a little bit of accountability and know your role. Like, I've worked with a teacher who said when they were in college, this was many, many years ago, this teacher was a veteran educator, and they said that in the classroom, when they were on their freshman campus, every freshman had to wear like a little tiny hat. And I'm not kidding, this is like not a thing I'm making up. So this is a very, like a much older story, right? So they went to school, I want to say in the late 50s or early 60s in their college experience. But the idea is that they could be visually labeled on campus by the ones who wear these little freshman dinks, these little tiny hats. And anyone on campus could walk up to a freshman at any time and tell the little freshman to dink. And it meant they had to like take their hat off and like nod to you because that was like a sign of respect. And if you were caught without your hat on, it was like, you know, a big social taboo. And I'm like, in what world is that okay? And I know it's a chance to be like, oh, well, that's just how it's done. That's our tradition around here. But like, some traditions are really stupid and really dangerous and designed to blame and shame people into like, well, know your role and know your place. And I get it. There is a hierarchy in all places, and you do have to learn that for sure. But when companies like Google have gone away from needing a college degree because all they care is whether or not you have the talent and the skill to be an expert coder, to be an expert hacker, they don't really care how you got those skills, whether you got it at Princeton or whether you got it just playing Fortnite. So I think there's a lot about this that kind of can go both ways. But I'm reminded of this famous story of a scientific research team, and this is true, you can Google it, feel free to fact check me on it. There's a scientific research team that had five monkeys in a cage. And they had these five monkeys in a cage, and they put a ladder in the cage. And the ladder at the top, they put bananas. So, like, they put the ladder in first, and then finally bananas on the top. And invariably, like, monkey A is like, well, hey, I want bananas, so he starts to climb. And when he did that, they sprayed all the other monkeys with a fire hose. And they were very upset to be wet, to be cold, and be, like, you know, frightened. So what happened is monkeys B, C, D, and E start, when any monkey is climbing up the ladder, to grab that monkey, pull them down, and beat them up. Because for you wanting to get bananas it's going to cost me a beating or a bath of water, and I don't want that. So out of their fear, they would beat up the monkey. This sort of makes sense that nobody wants anyone to get ahead because you don't want to get hurt in the process. Fine. Interestingly, over time after they acclimated the monkeys to water, and then they trained each other to, you know, quite awfully beat each other up, they started swapping out a monkey, and they swapped out monkey A. So we have new monkey A, monkey A1. All the other monkeys are old monkeys. And monkey A1 sees the bananas, starts to climb the ladder. Invariably, monkeys B, C, D, E immediately pull monkey A1 down and start beating them up. And that makes sense because they're afraid to get hit with a hose. Interestingly, though, from the moment they introduce monkey A1, they don't spray him with the hose anymore. There's no negative thing from the scientist being brought in. They're just letting the situation play out. And monkey A1 learns, if you climb the ladder, you get beat up. They then switch out monkey B and monkey C and D and E. And what they find over time is, even with no negative stimulus, like there's no more hose spraying the monkeys, they've swapped out every monkey. Over time, the climbing of the ladder still results in a beating every single time a monkey tries to climb it, because, well, that's just the way it's always been done, right? What an awful and what a beautiful metaphor at the same time to think about it. Like, if we give the same degree of critical attention to existing systems that we give to proposed new systems, are we a bunch of monkeys just beating each other up because we've designed something from a time away? And that could be things like traditional grades. That could be things like quarters or progress reports or report cards. It could be things like tracking students, honors, and AP in college prep. It could be things like radical ideas of what a curriculum entails, or the idea of courses of study altogether, entire departments. If real learning is messy and nonlinear, this is like a big ask, but it opens those doors like Pandora's box and says, well, hang on a second. What if we thought about it in a totally different way? And this is not to like break our brains, but it's to give us something to think about, to say, you know, well, that's the way we've always done it around here. Does that limit us? Does that prohibit us? Does that stop us from being great? Does that stop us from doing things that are incredible? Could you get students to do more work and feel safer and more supported and smarter by doing it in a totally different direction? And what would happen, like that saying, right? What would you try if you knew you would not fail? But that phrase gets in the way about, well, that's the way we've always done it in the real world. So I'm thinking about those things today. Would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks for tuning in. New episode every Monday. Feel free to message me back on Twitter, and I'll be back next time with more. Thanks again.